No man can serve two masters. And guess what God told me? I don't want you to serve two masters, because I'm all that. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and material. One is going to win out each and every time. Therefore, see, I don't want you to serve two masters. Therefore, I'm going to give you a different way. I'm going to give you a better way. I'm going to give you an absolute way. I'm going to give you a fail-safe way that you don't have to serve two masters. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That means stop worrying about your life. He didn't say don't think about it, but that means to stop worrying about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, not yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? He said, I made you in my image. I know what you stand in need of. I blew some of me into you. Then he said, check this out. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not. They don't work. They don't punch no clock. They don't reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? You're the crown of my creation, and I'm trying to show you what I'm doing with the birds, and you all worried about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and who's going to heal your body and who's going to protect your kids and who's going to get your marriage back together. Look what I do with the fowls of the air, and they ain't moved to work for one thing. Which of you, by taking a thought, can add one cubit into his stature? Which of us, by just thinking, can make ourselves grow? And why take ye thought for what you're going to wear? Consider the lilies of the field. Anybody love lilies? How they grow? They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, now Solomon was a bad dude. Oh, Solomon, he had the riches. He was decked out. You know, he was looking real good. That even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. I said, God, why did you say that? He said, because you got to understand, because Solomon wore stuff that was made by man. The lilies wore stuff that had my hand in it. I dressed the lilies. Didn't no tailor dress the lilies. I dressed the lilies. And I dressed them in such a way they would catch your eye. And wherefore, if God so clothed the grass, he's talking about grass now. He left the lilies alone. He's just talking about grass. Listen to this. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I said, God, why you call me a little faith? He said, because you got distracted, because you're trying to serve God and mammon. Therefore, I'm trying to let you know I got you. I got this thing under control. Whatever you need, I got it. I'm not a man where I should lie, or the son of man where I need to repent. Whatever you need, I got it. I don't need you to work 14 jobs, killing yourself, can't worship me, don't know my name, can't enjoy your beautiful house, can't enjoy your beautiful car, can't enjoy your beautiful family, because you serving material. So I got you. Said all you accumulated, I got more for you than that. So take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or where shall we be clothed? For after all these things that those unbelievers, Gentiles, seek. That's when you find folks that's not in Christ, they're going after all kinds of stuff. That's why those of us in Christ ought to be focused. He said, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but seek ye first. Put stuff in order in your life. Folk don't talk about you, but don't worry about it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that I just mentioned, all these things that I just talked about, all these things that you need to live shall be, I love the word added. Not just given, they added, which means you coming with something. What are you coming with? You coming with your mind, body, soul, and spirit, and you've been blessed by God and the Holy Spirit. So you already coming with, I'm going to add these things unto you. Take therefore
No thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Bless God. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You see in your program, it's talking about perceptions and priorities. Perceptions and priorities. I just want to let somebody know today. See, Sister D got me all messed up here. I just want to let somebody know that your perception is your reality. However you perceive someone or something, that is your reality. And your perception determines how you're going to treat that person or treat that thing. And your perception, however you perceive something, it develops or it turns into how you're going to prioritize some stuff. Some of us are still struggling with who Jesus is. We got a messed up perception about who Jesus is. Therefore, when we go to prioritize what we're going to do, Jesus is not priority on our list because our perception is messed up. But see, if you have the right perception and it has them in the proper place, what's going to happen is you're going to get some power and some promises. Turn to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. God wants us to get our priorities straight. Matthew 16, 13. Perceptions and priorities. Some of us still struggle. So for some of us, worshiping God, see, we get it mixed up. That's why I told you before a couple weeks ago, coming to worship and coming to church is two different things. Because if my perception of Christ is all messed up, I get mad and don't want to come to church. But I got to come to worship if my perception is right. Because he's worthy of all the praise. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Then I grab in Hebrews and say, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. You got to get this thing together. We got to wrap our minds around it. Look at Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I said, God, what is all this about? He said, because I want to make sure they had the right perception of me before I gave them what I was going to give them. If your kids don't have the right perception of money, you're going to keep giving them money. They keep messing it up. I wish I had a witness in here. Those things that are precious, you don't want to just give them out to folk that don't know how to handle them. That's what God talks about, stewardship, your gifts, your life, your marriage, your children, your money, your finances, your job. You got to be a good steward of that. But if you had the wrong perception of Christ, you think you gave it to yourself. He said, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? The question today is, whom do you say that Jesus Christ is in your life? And I want to let you know, if you think Jesus Christ is just the one you need to come to see when you're going through something, you are totally off base. You are totally off course, because he's your 7 day a week. He's your 24 hour a day God. He's not just some God you just call on when you feel down and out. A church is not a place you just come to when you're feeling down and out. A church is a place where you come to worship him no matter what's going on in your life, because no matter what's going on in your life, God is God. God can bless you. God can keep you. God can help you. And Simon Peter answered in verse 16 and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I said, how come Peter had to be the one? God said, it's not so much about Peter. It's the folk that hang around me the most and get close to me. I let them know who I am. And they can let others know. The ones that stick with me, hang around. Peter was a rough dude, but guess what? He stuck with Jesus. Some of us are rough, but just stick with Jesus, because he's going to reveal to you who he is and change your perception of him. And Jesus answered to them, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. See, if you got the right perception and Jesus has the right priority in your life, what did verse 18 say? And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is he telling Peter? Go ahead and be the church. Stuff's going to come against you, but it won't prevail. I wish I had a witness in here. Anybody love Jesus? As soon as you start loving him more and more, stuff starts coming against you, but it did not prevail. How do you know it didn't prevail? Because I'm here today. I'm closing in my right mind. It did not prevail. The gates of hell, I've been through too much. The gates of hell have... You might as well give the witness. You might as well tell the truth. The gates of... All you've been through, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Every gate I've seen been made out of some kind of strong metal or steel or something. And the gates of hell coming against you, he said, but no, because you are the church, not just the building, you are the body of Christ. And because you have a revelation of who I am, because you have the right perception and the right priority, when the gates of hell show up, they shall not prevail. Oh, my God. That's what that whole thing is about, putting on the whole armor of God. Having done all to stand. Forget about this cute Christianity. I am so sorry. It ain't you. Because the violent taking it by force. You got to get ready. You got to do some warfare prayer sometime. You got to pray for your neighbor sometime. Because today I feel okay. But that don't mean anybody in the church feel okay. You mean just because I feel okay? Then no. I'm concerned about my brother. I'm concerned about my sister. That they doing all right in the Lord. But I can't help your perception of Jesus Christ. I can try to explain to you who he is. But until you taste good and plenty for yourself. And because Peter had the right perception, the right priority, look at verse 19. What do he say? I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Anybody want to give somebody, give anybody any of the keys to your house? Anybody. Don't ask them their name. Don't ask them their track record. Don't ask their background. Anybody going to give the key? Now, God, I understand God inhabits heaven. So he said, and unto thee, I will give thee. If you got the right idea of who he is and he can trust you with it, he'll give it to you. That's what Matthew 6 says. Whatever you need, I'm going to give it to you. You don't have to serve two masters. Just serve me and watch what I do. Right in the midst of the gates of hell. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever thou shalt bind. It's promises and power with the perception and the priority. Thou shalt bind on earth and shall be bound in heaven. Whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. That is so powerful. But it's all about perception and priority that bring about the promises and the power. So if we're walking around in the church and we don't have much power because we got the wrong perception and we got the wrong priority, therefore we don't really believe the promises. But you got to believe the promise. There's no sense in you coming to the altar prayer and you don't believe God can bless you, God can heal your body, God can give you a job. I know they shut some doors in your face, but they don't own all the doors. That's how you have to talk to yourself. You got to encourage yourself. Oh, ain't no job out there for me. Stop death in life. Is in the power of the tongue. But when you look at Matthew 6, all God is trying to say is number one, I am creator, I am sustainer, and I am provider. It's all wrapped up in there. I am your creator, I am the provider, I'm the sustainer, I'm the provider. What does Matthew 6 say? He said, look at all this stuff I made. Look at verse 24, say, number one, don't serve God in material. And then verse 25, he said, why are you tripping? That's what it says in the Message Bible. Probably says, why are you tripping? Why y'all tripping out? What's wrong with y'all? Do you really know who I am? If you get the right perception of me, you can stop tripping. Oh, my God. No thought for your life. But he said, I got you. What blows my mind, after I went through all that, he had me anyway. Somebody said that. After I left the church and then I found out he had me anyway, so I came back. He said, I am creator. And what I create, I sustain. The universe is still, come on. In the midst of Hurricane Sandy, is the earth still standing? The gates of hell can come through Hurricane Sandy, but the earth, when it finishes what it needs to do, the earth is still going to be the earth. Now, I know there's some erosion going on, and there's some stuff messing up on the beaches, and the tides are high, but when God said, peace be still, I've seen the news reports where everything around this one house was destroyed. And they interviewed and said, well, what were you doing in your house? I was just praying. He said, it's not that I didn't pray for those around me, but my perception of God, who is able to do anything exceedingly abundant. That's what God's looking for in the church. Those that have the right perception of Jesus, not this lollipop. Oh. Folks don't understand the whole idea about when you come to get help or when you come for counseling or when you come to worship, 95% is perception. of who Christ is. Because if you don't know who he is, you're sitting here looking at your watch. I wish they would just shut up with all that noise and all that stuff. Lord, have mercy, because you know when you leave here, you can tap your Mac with your little $5,000 in your account. I tell you, get one good sickness, your $5,000 won't even, I wish I had a win. You walking around here all healthy and everything and taking God for granted. He said, everything I create, I sustain. And I'm a provider. That's what he's telling us. He said, if I take care of the lilies, if I take care of the birds, what do you think I'm going to do for you? You are the top of my creation. Are you not much more than they are? He says it so straight. He says, are you not much more than they? Look how I did them. Oh, my God. See, we want to get so deep. You want pastors to say, okay, what is the soteriological, theological effect? And I come to let you know, forget all that stuff. God is God. And God says, I'm going to take care of you if you let me take care of you. If you allow me in your life, stop holding back on me, give me you. I want you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Give me you. But we won't give ourselves to him unless we perceive him properly. And I know, brother, sometimes we struggle with this. Because, you know, we the man. Take care of my family. But God said, look, you better let me take care of you so you can take care of your family. He said, whatever I create, if I created you and you give yourself back to me, I know the story about Adam and Eve. I know the story. I know they messed up. But why you keep telling me about Adam and Eve when I made a way for you to get out of that mess? Do you love the mess more than you love me? How many of us here love our sin more than we love Jesus? If you do, you got the wrong perception of Christ. Because he hates the sin but loves the sinner. Oh, my God. You got to understand who he is. How many times do we put people before Jesus? I love my wife and she loved me. But guess what? It's Jesus first. I ain't going to try to be a Jesus. She might just ask me to go to the cross. You got to understand. You got to put stuff in perspective. And then we got to just stop leaving ourselves so vulnerable. Like God can't do what you need done. Oh, I got to have this. And I got to have that. And I got to have this one. And I got to have that one. God said, wait a minute. And Colossians said, you complete in him. So if I get something else to go along with me, if I get me a little somebody else, like my wife, I'm doing so much better because I was already complete in him. Get complete before you go get a mate. Oh, my God. Because God, I created you in my image. Stop looking down on yourself. You're just as bad as the next sister. You're just as bad as the next brother. Your features might be different, but you're just as bad. Oh, my God. I'm creator. I'm sustainer. I'm provider. He said, but you got to seek me first. One version says, strive for me first. I ain't heard that word in a long time. Strive. Strive for me first, and I'll give you all this. But he said, I got to stay in first place. I know we talked about that in Bible study, keeping God first place. But guess what? If you want to, you can, because if somebody else is in first place and you're keeping them in first place, why can't you switch places? Why can't you say, hey, hold up, I love you. I love you. I really love you. But you messing up my blessing. I mean, you blessing me, but you messing up my blessings. You know, the big stuff. The stuff that keeps the blood running warm in my veins. The stuff that get me clothing in my right mind. You got to let folks know, yeah, you're important in my life, but wait a minute now. Wait a minute. I met a man named Jesus. And he's blessing my life. Got to let folks know. So God is just simply saying, I'm creator, I'm sustainer, and I am provider. He will provide. I know you're working hard. Go through your blood, sweat, and tears. But he will provide. He will open up doors for you. And then be a good steward of what he gives you. Please don't waste your money, honey. Please don't waste your time and your talents. You got to be real understandable what you do. You know? Why pay thousands of dollars for a couch? And then because it costs so much, nobody can sit on it. The last I read, a couch was made to sit on. Now, do you live in a house or a museum? Come on, help me, somebody. Because heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall stay. I'll be letting you know, ain't nothing wrong having good stuff, but when you go all the way over to this side, and you invite everybody to your house, and we got to stand up and eat, and your house is all that, I'm asking for steak. He said, we ain't got nothing but hot dogs. So I could afford those. No, this is a stand-up function. I want nobody on my first. And then the next time I come, the couch ain't there because you ain't petting them out. But the Lord is good. But God said, keep me first. Stop trying to make people think. Don't show off for folk. Because you got it. You got it. It's on show. When you walk in Christ, you walk in confidence. It's not what you drive. It's not where you live. It's the heart. I know some nasty folk with a whole lot of money, and I don't want to be nowhere near them because I don't need their money, and I'm not going to put myself through all that to get some. Not what Matthew 6 done told me. I'm going to put myself at your mercy because you got money out there. No. Because God is the creator, he's the sustainer, and he is the provider. And learn how to enjoy life. But the gates of hell shall not prevail. But it's all about who is Jesus and who is he to you. We preached that before from the same scripture. Who is he and what is he to you? Remember I talked about that song from Bill Withers? You remember I talked about that song, the man we passed just tried to stare me down. And when I looked at you, you looked at the ground. I don't know who he is, but I think that you do. Who is he here? And what is he to you? Sometimes Jesus is hanging around the church and said, I saw you at the altar last Sunday and I blessed you. But who is he and who is she? Why are you not in church? Why are you not serving me? Why are you not worshiping me? Because I blessed you and you think I'm a light switch. You think I'm a Burger King kind of God. I didn't bless you because you fooled me. I bless you to show you how you are and where you are and where your heart is. How you do not regard me as creator and sustainer and provider. Because God said, if you know like I know, the fact that you got up this morning was because of me. No, you think because I bless you with that job. No. The fact that you got up to go to the job that I bless you with, that now you put it before me. That's what stewardship is about. Finding out how great God is, putting him priority, having the right perception, say, God, have your way. I pray for folk when they testify, Lord, have your way in my life. I said to myself, do they know what they're saying? Because when he has his way, sometimes some stuff come along the way. But he don't want you to be afraid. Because you got a testimony. You hear that testimony? I was in a room with the blinds closed. I was contemplating suicide. That's when you don't have the right perception of Christ. You see, you got to learn how to renew your mind. Your mind, because when you start thinking those things, the devil, guess what? You a liar. And guess what? You ain't paid me no rent since I've known you. And you going to get up out of my mind, my heart, and my spirit. I'm going to tell you something. I might need some bodyguards after church. If you're with somebody that's causing you a whole lot, never mind. You need to analyze that stuff. I'm firm. I can do bad all by myself. I don't need nobody throwing dirt in the ditch that I'm in. I need somebody to help me. If you ain't going to help me, then help yourself along the way. Because I got Jesus. Stop lowering your standards. I got Jesus. The person that I lowered my standards for, God said, hey, fool, I made you and him and her in my own image. I blew into them the same breath. You really got to get caught up in who Jesus is. You have to have the right perception so you can have the right priority. And when we get that straight, here comes the promise and the power. I give to you the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. And whatever you bind, that is so powerful. And I know it doesn't sound good when you go to work on Monday. Guess what? I have the keys to the kingdom. They said, boy, if you don't get up out of my face, man, what were y'all drinking for communion in church yesterday? But see, the natural man receives not the things of God because the Spirit says, sir, we keep trying to get our friends to understand the Word of God. And what they want to understand is a witness. They want to understand how you change. That if you just walk right and talk right and live right and think right, that will begin to let them know how great and how good this God is. Priorities and perceptions. Who is he? I know some of y'all too young to remember Bill Withers. But all he's saying was, hey, who that dude, who that girl on your arm? I'm walking with you. We all lolly-dolly having fun. And I walk by. Jesus saying the same thing. He said, last week you was all in love with me. And now that I raised you up on that hospital bed, you ain't got time for me. I don't want a Jesus that I got to have somebody call me and ask me, where were you for the last 3 months? I don't want the kind of Jesus where every time I get sick or get broke or don't have a job or my mama kicked me out, then I come to church. No, that's not what it's all about. It's about serving him and worshiping him and giving him free reign of our lives so that no matter what we go through, he's there all the time. What is your perception of Jesus? Does he have priority in your life? Who is Jesus to you? For some of us, he's just a Sunday event. Some people just have, they don't pick this up again. And then some people smart enough, they take it to the casino with them. What you doing, my brother? I pay the lottery, man. You know you ain't supposed to be there. Got your little testament in your back pocket. You ain't supposed to be up in that woman's house. Oh. You're supposed to be in that brother's house. Yes. But we think we can just take the word and just put it on anything. God know my heart. What does it say about your perception of Christ? I'll use it when I want to. I'll put Christ on anything. And that's got to be very careful because if your heart doesn't have an intention to pull away from that which is destroying you, then you're using Christ amiss. The Bible says, should he be crucified again? No, once and for all is good. So we got to get the right perception. And you know what? I don't care if it's this church or another church. Don't let no person chase you away from the church that God told you to be in. Amen. You got to let folk know, look, I don't care what you say. You ain't bought no pew. You don't own no pew. You don't own no space. You don't own no Jesus up in here. Don't let people move you. As a matter of fact, don't enter into those kind of conversations. Just say hello and keep it moving. You got to get all twisted up in that. Well, I can't go to that church. Well, go to another church. Why are you home? Because the Eagles playing? That made me mad this morning. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, they opened the gate to the Lincoln Financial Field. Guess who's out there? The tailgaters. 8 o'clock. So if you make up your mind who Jesus is, if you have the right perception of who Jesus is, ain't nobody got to beg you to come to church and worry where you are and do all these extra programs for you and extra services for you. My God, if you love Jesus, he'll give you the attention you need. Some of us just want attention. And God is saying, you got the right perception of me, I'll give you everything you need. Because I need the summon of Caesar. Every time you need my attention, I'm right there. Every time you call my name, I'm right there. So God has just wanted me to tell everyone today, myself included, keep the perception straight. Stop distorting the perception of who I am. And I know I've been good to you. But don't serve me because I've been good to you. A long time ago, God told me, you know, don't come to church because you pastor. Come to church because you belong to me. I had to get that straight a long time ago. And some of us need to get that straight. Hallelujah. You are partnering with us. You're not doing this for us. Oh, hallelujah. Because if you think you're doing it for us, if you get mad at us, you'll pull back. No, you're doing it for Jesus. Ain't no use you getting mad with Jesus. Because who you going to go to? God, Jesus, Holy Ghost, Jesus made me mad. Well, just stay there till y'all get it together. He loves you. Stay right in there. We have to have the right perception. So when you come to pray, you won't be praying to be seen. You won't be praying to be heard. When you come to sing, it won't be a performance. This is not the Leah Chorus Center. I'm worshiping God. When you come to preach, if you send everybody to the dictionary, you ain't preaching. You're trying to impress folk. You're trying to impress folk because you've been there, you know, learning some stuff. So what? If you know something, it's going to come out. Whether you say Mary had a little lamb or Jesus is the lamb of the world. Oh, my goodness. Perception. But I do know the atmosphere, the environment that you worship in needs to be conducive to your style. But don't put the wrong things on your checklist. Hallelujah. Don't put the wrong things on your checklist. One lady stopped one time. She right outside. You know what she told me? She said, do y'all have a choir in the choir loft yet? Hey, I don't even know you. How you know we got in there? But you know what? Folk look for the wrong thing, like you said. We all into the song. But how about the worship? I've been places where there wasn't no spirit of the Lord there. And I've been to small places. Started out like we did, just trying to make it. But the power and the presence of God. So it's not sound. It is not always appearance. It's the heart. Who is Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior? Is he your all in all? Is he your everything? Is he your rock in a weary land? Is he your way maker? Is he your burden sharer? Burden bearer? Is he your heavy load sharer? Is he your water when you're thirsty, your bread when you're hungry? This sounds so cliche and it sounds so old, but I come to let somebody know today, I don't care what kind of language you put it in, he is Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's creator, he's sustainer, and he is provider. Is he your bread when you're hungry? And a lot of us, God is blessed. We are doing well. But how many times have you sat down to eat and just forgot about him? Ain't bless him for nothing. Ain't thank God for nothing. When we go through the storm, if the storm hits it the wrong way, how many going to check on your neighbor? I don't know. We got some college students next to us. I don't know if I'm going to check on them or not. I want to check with them. But glory, glory, hallelujah. Is Jesus that friend that's sticking closer than a brother? Is he your strong tower? Is he your healer? Is he your bread of life? Is he your peace in the midst of the storm? I just need to let somebody know today as we close out that I don't care what you're going through. Get back to Jesus. And if you don't know him, accept him as your Lord and Savior. There is nothing better. I don't have anything else to give you. There's nobody else that works like him. There's nobody else in the history of the world that came while I was yet in my mess and still loved me and had the nerve to get up on an old rugged cross and get spit on, beat, whipped, pierced in the side and still said, Father, forgive them, for that I haven't found anybody else that will go through all that for an old wretch like me. I looked in the mirror myself. I want to kill myself. But God, nobody. But do all that for you. And then he took all that mess and put it in the grave. And then he went down and said, look here. Y'all thought y'all had me. Y'all thought you had me. And it's cool because I lay my life down. You can't take it. But I need you all to think that you have me because I want to do the will of my Father. And God is using some of us like he used Job. Somebody going through something right now. And you say, Lord, every time I turn around, I'm getting some bad news. Guess what God said? But the good news is still here. The fact that the bad news didn't overtake you, didn't overwhelm you, I know it affected some members of your family, and it made you think, man, it hit your faith a little bit. God was saying, guess what? It's going to be all right in a minute, because then you're going to begin to understand what it is that I'm trying to do. Because in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Some of us got some Uzziahs in our life, and it's all messed up. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And I said, oh, Lord, he said, don't worry about it. And then he had one of his seraphim take a stone off the altar, and it touched my lip. See, God will sanctify you in a minute. If your heart is right and your perception's right, hallelujah, your priority's right, God will sanctify you right here. And people will say, well, what happened to you? Well, I gave my life to Christ. And they, but nobody else gonna die for you and get up on the third day. And said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And somebody said, Pastor, I don't see the abundant life. That's because you got the wrong perception. You thought abundance was money. You thought abundance was a house. You thought abundance was a car. So abundance is knowing who you are and where you're headed. And abundance is being able to go to the well anytime you get thirsty. Abundance is that water to spring it up into like everlasting. That's what the abundance is. We got folks that come to church with the wrong perception. Oh, they ain't moved me today. He ain't said nothing today, because you ain't got nothing in you that can witness to Jesus Christ. You got the wrong perception. You thought the church was set up to do everything for you. This ain't no entertainment. This is worship. Go to the movies. This is real. This is like you going to the emergency room at a hospital. You going there all messed up. You don't want to hear nothing about what they had for lunch and who they married and who they slept with. I'm hurt. You don't want to hear about how many cars passed the guy and how many rings go past. I'm hurt. I came to get ministered to. That's what church is about, ministering to folk. And just because you come in looking good, you still need to be ministered to. Because if you're going to stay with him, if you're going to stay on the straight and narrow, you need to hear the word over and over and over again. How many times have you read the 23rd Psalm and it told you something different? How many times have you read the 100th Psalm and it told you something different? How many times have you come to the altar and God spoke to you something different? You don't get it just one time. It's not an overnight success. It's relationship. When I met my wife and I asked her to marry me, it was till death do us part. Jesus is saying the same thing. Why you come courting me? Why you take the vows and say, no matter what, you will stay with me? And when what came, you left? And I'm still here, standing at the altar, waiting for you. But guess what? Jesus said, well, as soon as I see your head coming up over that hill, I'm going to run and kiss you. I'm going to tell them to start the party. Yeah. Oh, we know how to party now. Yeah. If you want somebody to have a party for you, come back to Christ. Yeah. And you can be in church and still be away from Christ. You can be in, like the elder brother. He was still saved, but he was hard. Why are you doing that for him? Some folk do that. Somebody come down the aisle, half drunk. Why pastor hugging on me? They ain't hugged me when I came. You ain't like you need no hug. You knew what you was doing. This dude was stumbling down. I was hugging him to hold him up straight, you fool. You've got to have the right perception. And then nobody got to beg you to come worship him. The last thing is this. How often do we consider how Jesus feels about the way we treat him? Suppose I just tell my wife on her birthday and Christmas, you know, all the rest of the year, I don't have nothing to do with her. Just something for your birthday, baby. We in the house together. We ain't even talking. You know, once you accept Christ, he's with you. And you say, you ain't even talking to her. You ignoring him. You going out doing all this kind of stuff. You over here, like he ain't with you. Jesus, you got to stay out because I can't take you in here. He He said, too late now. I'm with you now. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You might be trying to get away from me. Anybody ever have a bad girlfriend, a bad boyfriend you can't shake? Not saying Jesus is like that, but he's better than all that. But let us all stand. Perceptions and priorities. Perceptions and priorities. God is saying today, in a real serious way, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, or if you have been disconnected from Christ, hey, listen to this. I'm not even talking about church membership yet. I'm talking about you not leaving here lost, but you leaving here connected to Christ. So don't fool yourself. Don't think because you come back and forth to church that you're connected. You know whether or not you're connected. Because if you're not connected, you don't feel no power. You don't feel His presence. You don't feel nothing going on in your life. So if you need to be connected...